substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
It's always a pleasure to come to Groveport, and I appreciate the invitation to be with you today. I have long appreciated this congregation for its stand for the truth, and my prayers are that you will always uphold the truth of God. When I thought about what I might use for today, the thought ran through my mind, what I believe, and why do I believe it? In the chapter that was read, a portion of which was read, he tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not just a Bible word. Faith is a word which we use in everyday language. And it explains why we believe certain things. And so why do I believe? Why do I believe? First question, what do I believe? Let me say unequivocally that I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I believe in the Bible as the Word of God. I have no hesitancy whatever to say that I believe in those things. Now, the question, why do I believe? We believe in things because we have seen them, because we have experienced them, or because the evidence of their existence is so overpowering that unbelief is just unreasonable. Now, why do I believe in God? I have never seen God. I have never seen Jesus Christ. I have never heard an audible sound from God nor Jesus Christ. And yet I believe that God exists. I believe that Jesus Christ exists. The question is why? Our purpose in this lesson will be that of giving reason as to why I believe. The Apostle Peter said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." Be ready to give an answer. I have been asked the question many times, why do you believe? Why do you believe in God? Again, I've never touched him. I've never seen him. I've never heard him. And yet I believe in God. Let me give you my reasons. First of all, I believe because I want to believe. Now, that's not overwhelming proof. To a lot of people, that wouldn't mean a thing. But let me say right at the very start, that I believe in God because I want to believe in God. So many blessings have come my way because of my belief in God that I want to believe in God the rest of the years that I have remaining. so many blessings. I have known some of the greatest people on the face of this earth because I've been a Christian and come in contact with them. Some of the greatest people. I think so many times of a family that I knew down in Oklahoma 65, 68 years ago when I was in the Army and stationed there at Fort Sill. This man and his wife, first Sunday that I went to church in Lawton, Brother Robert Sprague and his wife invited me into their home. I mentioned to Brother Sprague that I had that I'd been preaching for a couple of years and I'd be happy to preach around if any congregation knew any place for me to preach or needed somebody to preach. The next Sunday he had a place for me to preach. I wasn't exactly prepared because I had been going once a month here, once a month there, once a month there, and I had maybe a dozen sermons, and they wanted me to preach every Sunday. Well, I kind of ran out of soap when you're 18 years old and hunting around for something to say. It was a little difficult, but it was the greatest experience of my life. One of the other elders, Brother Sprague was an elder, and one of the other elders told me a story about Brother Sprague. He said that many years ago, when he was a young man, his brother drove a taxi. And one time, some young men hired him to take them to a nearby town. When they got out in the country, they pulled a gun, told him to stop, get out of the car. They took his money, they shot him and killed him, took his cab and went on their way. The man that killed him when he was tried was found guilty of murder, first-degree murder. The judge asked if the Sprague family had anything to say. Brother Sprague stood and said, "Your Honor, our only request is that you not put him to death." 20 years later, the man got out of prison on probation. He came back to Lawton. He went to the grocery store that Brother Sprague ran. And he said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You're the man who killed my brother." He said, "Sir, is there anything in this world that I can do for you?" He said, "You saved my life." He said, "Yes, you can go to church with me." And this elder who was telling me the story said that that night at church, there wasn't a dry eye in the audience because the two of them sat together. And the man later obeyed the gospel, became a Christian, and lived out his days serving the Lord. Brother Sprague and his wife are both gone now, but I've often looked upon them as among the finest people that I've ever known. I never would have had that experience had I not believed in God, had I not been a Christian. I think of others. At Fishinger and Kinney, during the years that I preached there, we baptized about 700 people. And I've often thought the story didn't end there, because those people went to various communities and married and had families and brought their families up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And there will be people in heaven who never heard of Fishinger and Kinney or who never heard of me, but who will become Christians. Never would have experienced that had I not been a believer. About 55, 60 years ago, I baptized a young man in Indianapolis. He was a teenager, 17, 18, I'm not sure. His name was Jim Dillinger. Jim went on to become a preacher of the gospel. He did missionary work. And the last that I heard, he was serving as an elder in one of the churches in Indiana. Jim's grandfather was a first cousin to John Dillinger, the notorious outlaw of the 1930s who was killed in a gun battle with the police. I've often thought if John Dillinger had heard the same gospel that Jim Dillinger heard and obeyed it, what a difference would have been made in the lives of people that he robbed and killed. Today, John Dillinger's body is buried in a cemetery in Indianapolis, not very far from a church building where Jim Dillinger was buried with his Lord in baptism. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Makes a difference. Never would have had that experience had it not been for belief in God. I think of men who have become preachers, men who have become ill. Two of the elders at Fishinger and Kenny are people that we baptized 30 or 40 years ago. These are the things that excite me. When I see somebody's life changed, when I see someone who otherwise would have gone a far different field, I am so thankful that I obeyed the gospel of Christ and became a Christian. Henrietta and I have friends over in Indianapolis. The man's passed on now. But they started coming to church when I was preaching over there many years ago. One night we had a little work session. We wanted everybody to come out and do some chores around the building. And this man came. Wasn't a member of the church, but he came. They had met each other in a tavern. And now they were coming to church. Well, that night as we were working, this man said, "Gene, could I take a look back there at your baptistry area?" And I said, "Sure." And so we went back, and I reached over to the left to turn on a light switch, and he turned to the right and fell into the baptistry. Well, about 2 weeks later, I baptized him again for the remission of his sins, and they became Christians. Three of their boys became Christians, and one of their boys is preaching the gospel of Christ. Never would have had that experience had it not been for belief. That's why I say to you this morning, I believe in Jesus Christ because I want to believe. I want to believe. Life could never have been nearly the same had it not been for belief in Christ. What gospel did I preach to those people? The same gospel that you hear preached every Lord's Day. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. It's a belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God. That's all it amounts to. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." In Romans 6, the Apostle Paul made the statement, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. You became the servants of righteousness." What a joy it is to hear that gospel over and over and over again. The Lord's Supper. I couldn't help but think when we were partaking of it a little while ago. We've done this since it was instituted. God's people have obeyed that since it was instituted. And I've been asked the question, "Don't you think it grows old doing it every week?" How could it? Does it ever grow old when you think of a companion that's passed away? Does it ever grow old when you reflect for a moment about a wife that's gone now, a husband that's passed away? In my case, a daughter that's passed away. Mother, father. Does it ever grow old to think about that? Never, never. And never will it grow old to think when we partake of that bread and that fruit of the vine, this represents the body and blood of my Lord. And he did it for me. He did it for me. I believe because I want to believe. My belief in God has given me a hope that makes death easier to accept. It will come. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others who have no hope. What would it be like to have no hope? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of what it takes. Let me turn from that. I believe in God because his universe shows design. Consider for just a moment the fact that every effect has to have an adequate cause. Has to be a cause for every effect. The world is an effect. The wise man said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Here's a world. Here's a universe. How did it get there? Take a human being. One of our members is an optometrist, and I go to him for care for the eyes. And he told me one day, he said, I've studied the eyes, and he said, when I think of the multiple circumstances that it must have taken to form an eye, just an eye, where I can look out there 30 feet away, 50 feet away, and recognize something. He said, I have to believe in God. I have to believe in God. I knew a man many years ago who was totally blind, been blind from birth. And I asked him one day, I said, what is your concept of sight? He said, I don't know. He said, I walk holding to your arm and I get around, but you somehow are able to know what lies ahead. And he said, I don't know what's going on. He said, I have no concept of it. Stop and think about it for a moment. How did it get there? How did we come to be? We were created. We were made by a creator. Is there an atheist in the world who would deny that every effect must necessarily have an adequate cause? Would it be possible to have a beautiful three-tiered cake without a baker? I baked one cake in my life. It was Henrietta's birthday many years ago. I gave her a couple of dollars, told her to go to town, buy anything she wanted for $2. And I thought, while she's gone, I'll bake her a cake. I thought, well, that ought to be a piece of cake. Well, I got out one of her recipes, and I was doing great until it said cream the shortening, and I had no idea what that meant. I thought if you cream something, you make it softer, so I put it in a pan, put it on the stove, and it caught on fire. And it blackened the board behind the stove there, and I had to scrub that down. Well, maybe that was two cakes, my first and my last. I never baked a cake again. Now, but when you see a beautiful cake, it took a baker to make it, didn't it? When you see a mansion, it took a builder to make that mansion. It didn't just explode. And it takes a maker to have the design of this universe. Professor Harold Morowitz, estimated that the possibility for the chance formation of the smallest, simplest form of living organism known is one chance in one followed by 340 million zeros. We sometimes say, well, one chance. If I took 10 pennies and marked them with a magic marker 1 through 10, put them in my pocket, what are the chances I could reach in there and shake them around and pull out number 1? That'd be one chance in 10. Well, he's saying that the chance of the chance formation of a living organism is one chance out of this figure, 1 followed by 340 million zeros. One chance out of all those chances. It just ain't going to happen, folks. Pardon the grammar. It isn't going to happen. Dr. Carl Sagan, who has written some 600 scientific papers, said that the chance of life evolving on Earth is one chance in one followed by 2 billion zeros. Not a very good chance. Edwin Conklin of Princeton University said that the probability of life originating from accident is comparable to the probability of the unabridged dictionary resulting from an explosion in a printing shop. Try that one out. It just blew everything to smithereens and down came a dictionary. Isn't going to happen. Isn't going to happen. I believe because God's universe shows design. Design. I believe because belief makes more sense than unbelief. You know, every rational human being directs his life under the assumption that he'll make decisions based on that which makes the most sense. I do that. You do that. We all do that. What makes the most sense? Now, Hebrews 11:1 that was read a little while ago says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, there are a lot of things that I have never seen. I've never seen my heart. I'm only going to assume that I have one. Some of you may doubt it. But I'm assuming that I have one because a few years ago, Dr. Davis told me I was going to have it worked on. How did he know? He didn't see it either. Yet he put me under a doctor that knew how to cut me open and work on the thing. Now, how can a doctor know that? Evidence. He can look at my blood and tell me something is wrong inside my body. How does he know that? Evidence of things not seen. When I see a creation, I know it had to have a creator. That just makes sense. The unbeliever translates that faith to mean a kind of blind faith, devoid of human reason. Not so. There are countless things that we believe in even though we've never seen them. There are states that I've never been in these United States of ours. There are presidents that I've never seen. There are kings and queens that I've never seen, yet I believe they exist. I put it this way sometimes. I never saw Abraham Lincoln. Looking around, some of you may have seen him, but I never saw Abraham Lincoln. Yet I believe he existed. I believe he lived. Why? Because of the evidence. The evidence. Evidence of things not seen. If I did not believe, there are many things which would demand an explanation. How could I account for the beautiful life of Jesus Christ if I didn't believe? How could I account for that? The World Book Encyclopedia says that he had more influence on humanity than any man who ever lived. Think about it. Here was a young man. I have grandchildren older than Jesus Christ was when he died. Now, World Book Encyclopedia, he had more influence on mankind than any man who ever lived on the face of the earth. How do you account for that? How do you account for that? How do you explain thought? How do you explain that we can think that here's a computer up inside this cavity up here that can think and recall things of the past and remember people, remember names? How does that happen? I don't understand the computer. I try once in a while, but I have to call the grandchildren in to fix it for me. And yet we have a computer here that's far superior to that. Who made it? Who made it? How could I explain the existence of morals? Why is something right or wrong? Isn't so in the animal world. If an animal's hungry and sees an animal smaller than he just goes after him and chews him up and that's it. Why aren't we that way? There's something about morality that keeps us from doing that. Some things are just right, and some things are just wrong. Why? Because God made it that way. How can I explain the Bible? Here's a book that has existed, the latter parts of which were written 2,000 years ago. How do I account for the fact that it's as up to date as tomorrow's newspaper? How do I account for that? No other work is that way. Take any book of medicine, take any book of law, take any work that you care to look at, and nothing compares to the Bible. I believe because belief makes more sense than unbelief. And then this thought. I believe because of the promises connected with belief. The Apostle Paul said in the last book that he ever wrote, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That crown of righteousness can be ours. I look forward to that. I know that every faithful child of God will receive that crown of life. And what a joy it is. Can't you just imagine the joy of being in heaven? I try to think of it sometimes and it's beyond me. I try to think of being with the Apostle Paul for a while, Peter, John, sitting with Jesus Christ for a few hundred years and just talking. What a joy, what a tremendous joy it will be. And that promise is for those who believe. John made it clear when he said in the Revelation, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I want that crown of life. Hebrew writer said, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I want those promises. Look forward to them. My response to the question, why do you believe, could not be answered in a single sermon. I believe because every time that I've reached a point in life when the burdens are too great to handle alone. He's been there. He's been there. Every time I search the Word of God, I've never found it to be unsound. I believe in it. I believe because it has provided for me the greatest possible life, along with the promise of an even greater eternal life. More than 70 years ago, there was a little fair-haired guy over in Indiana who went forward one Sunday to be baptized into Christ. And when the memory of that boy lies down at night with this white-haired old man, I thank God for the faith that he had. Just enough faith. He couldn't preach a sermon. He couldn't lead a prayer. He couldn't do anything. But he had enough faith to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I thank God for his faith. Your faith in Jesus Christ can give you a life beyond compare if you will just say those same words. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And we're going to sing a song to give you an opportunity to make that confession and to become a child of the living God. If you're subject to the invitation, then we ask you to come as we stand to sing. Let us stand.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him?